Our first scripture reading is going to come from the book of the Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of the book of the Romans, verses 1 through 5, which is found on page 1033 of your Pew Bible. Paul is talking here about his people, Israel, according to the flesh. Paul's heart goes out to them. His heart is broken because they have not realized Jesus as the Messiah, as the fulfillment of the promises that God made to Abraham. And so it vexes Paul's heart. But we'll begin chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I can testify that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they have not submitted to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. Our gospel reading will come from the book of Matthew. We'll be reading from the 14th chapter of Matthew, verses 22 through 33. And it is found on page 894 of your Pew Bibles. And again, friends, let us listen to God's word for us. Immediately, he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. We all know the importance of being focused in whatever we do. Focus is important. It's always important to keep the main thing. The main thing, as someone said, I was driving down the road not too long ago and saw some emergency personnel, fire truck, and a police car, and they had their lights on, and it was obviously an accident. Didn't look like anyone was hurt, but it was an accident. And the person in front of me, because I would never do this, I would never, you know, rubberneck. I'm always paying attention to what I'm doing. But the guy in front of me was so busy rubbernecking and looking that he almost caused another wreck. But it's the importance of focus. We need to stay focused in whatever we do. When we're driving especially, we need to stay focused. In our work life, we need to be focused. Being focused helps us to be able to, again, keep the main thing the main thing. As followers of the Lord, of course, we know that we are to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, indeed, is the lodestar that should orient our lives, not just during those moments of smooth sailing, but also during those dark, chaotic, and fearful times in our lives when we are rocked to and fro by the storms of the world. We know that we need to stay focused. And that's what we learned from our gospel reading this morning, Matthew's gospel. The story takes place right after the feeding of the 5,000 that we read about last week. You'll remember at that time that Jesus was seeking a lonely place to go pray after he had heard about his cousin, John the Baptist, being killed at the hands of King Herod. Jesus was interrupted by the crowds, but now the crowds are gone and Jesus is once again seeking out a lonely place to pray and to meditate. And so he instructs his disciples to get into a boat without him and to cross over on the other side of the sea. It is a risky undertaking that he's asking them to engage in because it involves crossing the sea. The ancient Israelites, of course, were afraid of the sea. The sea was, in their minds, the abyss. It was a repository of everything that was scary. It was not only the place of sea monsters and demons, but it was also the place of chaotic and destructive forces that could easily overwhelm you and lead to your demise. The sea was sort of like life itself. One moment you're sailing along and everything is nice and calm and manageable, and then the next moment you're being buffeted by winds and waves that are beyond your control. I think we can all relate to that. So when Jesus instructs his disciples to get into a boat without him and to go to the other side, we can almost anticipate the coming drama, because crossing the sea is risky business. Anything that we do in faith, anything that is worth doing, is always risky business. But they dutifully get into the boat and they begin to traverse the sea, and no sooner than they are a distance away from the shore, they begin to run into some turbulence. They are overtaken by a storm, and suddenly the little boat that they're in begins to rock to and fro. The winds are against them, and they're battling all night, battling to make it to the other side, but not making very much progress. And it is dark, and things are chaotic, and they are fearful and afraid, and right when they're about to give up, suddenly they see Jesus coming, walking on the water. Walking in the midst of the storm. They at first believe Jesus is a ghost, but Jesus tells them, "Don't be afraid. It is I. Don't be afraid. Even though you're in the midst of this storm, even though it's dark, even though your life is being in danger, do not be afraid." And by the way, that's the number one command that is given in the Bible again and again. Do not be afraid. Because the Bible knows that we are often afraid. There's lots of things in the world to be afraid of. But fear is often the result of losing our focus. It's often the result of being distracted by the turbulent winds of the world. And so the Bible reminds us again and again not to be afraid, but to stay focused on the main thing. To stay focused on God, stay focused on Jesus. This story is sometimes a difficult story to preach from, one, because it's a well-known story, but also because it's easy for us to get bogged down in the miracles. It's easy for us to get bogged down on the walking on the water. If Jesus is walking on the water, or Peter's partial walking on the water, we have a tendency to do that, to become preoccupied with the miracles. Did it happen? Did it not happen? How did it happen? I was reading an article this week about a researcher from the Florida State University and said he believes he knows how it happened, that Jesus was actually walking on ice. That's what happened. Something to do with atmospheric pressures and everything that he had formulated and theorized about, but that's the kind of thing that we usually run into whenever we start trying to explain the miracles. But Matthew isn't telling us this story because Matthew wants to wow us with another one of Jesus' miracles. Matthew is telling us this story because he's trying to shape us and mold us to be a certain kind of people, a faithful people, a trusting people, a hopeful people, a people whose focus is in the right place. And so the first thing that Matthew wants us to do is he wants us to see certain things. And the first thing that Matthew wants us to see and see clearly is he wants us to see who Jesus is. Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. That's what Jesus himself says as he comes up on the frightened boat. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. That's what our English translation says. But the actual Greek says, take heart, I am. I am. That's the divine name. That's who Jesus is. I am. I am who I am. I am. I am the Lord and the Master of the sea. I am the one who was there from the very beginning, brooding over the face of the waters. I am the one who separated the waters and began the act of creation. I am the one who has the fate of the whole world in my hands. I am the one that has your fate in my hands. I am God who is with you, so do not be afraid. That's who Jesus is. That's who Matthew wants us to see. Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is God who is with us. The God that we come to know and serve is the God that we come to know and serve in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important. That's important because there's a lot of God talk in our day and age. There's a lot of talk about God, a lot of talk about who God is and what the God's priorities are and what God wants and what God does and who God is for and who God would bomb and who God would not bomb and all kinds of talk about God. But I notice that there's never really a whole lot of talk about Jesus, because whenever we talk about Jesus, we get an understanding of who God is. And whenever we start talking about God without talking about Jesus, then we start creating God in our own image. But Matthew wants us to understand that God, the God that we come to know, is the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great I am. And so Jesus is there in the midst of the storm, and he's telling the people, do not be afraid. Take courage. Do not be afraid. Stay focused. Focused on me. Focused on Jesus. Secondly, Matthew tells us this story because he wants us to understand that to be a follower of this God, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is an invitation to be vulnerable. It's an invitation to be caught up in the storms of life. Now, I know that's not very popular today. What we usually look for from God is a kind of escape clause, some kind of pass that will help us, allow us to be able to escape life's storms. But Jesus never promises us smooth sailing. He never promises us placid seas and calm winds. In fact, if we are faithfully listening to Jesus, if we are faithfully following him, if we are faithfully obedient to him, we can expect to meet with some turbulence in our lives. That's what we learn in the Bible itself. Jesus begins to meet with turbulence in his life. His cousin John the Baptist has already been killed, and as Jesus' ministry begins to progress, he will stir up the deep demonic forces that are extant in the world. They will begin to be aroused by the presence of Jesus in their midst. And they will continue their arousal. They will continue their blowing. They will continue their stirring up until Jesus is on the cross. In fact, that's what they will lead to, Jesus being on the cross. And what happens to Jesus, we can pretty much expect will happen to us too in the world. As we are being faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to arouse and stir up all kinds of spirits. You're going to stir up all kinds of things, but Jesus reminds us to be faithful, to continue to be faithful in the midst of the storm. I like what the sign says that is right above the Third Street door as we go out the door. It says, "You are now entering the mission field." You're entering the mission field. What that sign is, it's an invitation for us to be involved in the storms of the world, in the storms of life. It's an invitation for us to be embroiled in the world. I imagine that many of Jesus' disciples at that time probably would have wanted to stay there with Jesus. They probably would have wanted to stay in that lonely place and prayed and worshiped. But Jesus sends them on, tells them to go get in the boat and go to the other side. And that's what Jesus wants each and every one of us to do too. He wants us to be involved in the world. He wants us to take a risk. He wants us to open our lives to the challenges of the world. He doesn't promise that we will not have storms, but what he does promise is that in the midst of the storms, that he will be with us. But what he tells us is to stay focused, even in the midst of our storms, to stay focused on Jesus. That's what I like about Peter in this story. You know, Peter is Peter. Peter is bold. He is impetuous. Peter is, you know, when he recognizes that it's Jesus and it's not a ghost, he immediately wants to be where Jesus is. He isn't scared of the storms anymore. In fact, he asks permission to get out of the boat and get directly into the waves, and Jesus beckons him forward. And when Peter gets out of the boat, as long as he's focused on Jesus, as long as he keeps his eyes on Jesus, he's able to do the very things that Jesus does. He's able to walk on the water. But when he takes his focus off of Jesus, when he begins to pay attention to the turbulent winds that are around him, he becomes afraid and he begins to sink. But even in the midst of his sinking, he cries out to Jesus, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus saves him, because that's what Jesus does. He saves. But Peter loses his focus. And it's easy for us, too, to lose our focus. But Matthew wants us to make sure that we do that, that we focus in on what is important, that we keep our focus on God, keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know we live in a turbulent world. We all know we live in a chaotic world. We all know we live in a world that seems to be buffeted more and more by all kinds of winds. I was reading the newspaper last week and was reading about some of the things that were going on in the world, what was happening in Venezuela and South America. If you've been keeping up with the news, that country is in a very chaotic state. You know, people fighting in the streets, people who are elected officials who are being arrested, all kinds of things are going on there. Chaos, turbulence. On that same page, I was also reading about what was happening in Kenya, in Africa, same kind of thing. They just had an election there, and the election is being contested, and there's chaos, turbulence taking place in the streets. I don't know what is happening there with the church, but they are people there are buffeted by chaos and turbulence. I remember thinking, we're relatively fortunate here in our country. At least we've been relatively fortunate. Used to be that there was a major consensus in our country. Our country was relatively stable. We had our periods of turbulence, but we were relatively stable, but I'm not quite sure that that's the case anymore. And so I was a bit surprised when I turned on the news yesterday and saw fighting in the streets and people moving down the streets with torches and chanting and fighting and bloodshed and all kinds of things, and checked to see where it was at, and it was in the good old U.S. of A. in Charlottesville, Virginia. Violence in the streets. What is our country coming to? It's a lot to be afraid of in our world. A lot to be afraid of. The prospect of nuclear war, terrorism, that seems to emerge in the headlines quite often. A lot to be afraid of as we consider the turbulent winds that are blowing in the midst of our world and in the midst of our own country. No doubt that we've unleashed passions in our own country that will be hard to bring back into the bottle, passions that could very well continue to unravel the social fabric of our nation. But it's in the midst of this kind of world that we are called to keep our focus. It's in the midst of this kind of world that we are called to keep our focus, those of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep our focus on Jesus, to keep our focus on the main thing. And as long as we can keep our focus on Jesus, we can do the very things that Jesus did. I know there are people who say that we can never do what Jesus did. We can't do what Jesus did because we're not Jesus. But if we keep our focus, our eyes on Jesus, we can do the things that Jesus did. We can love the way that Jesus loved. We can love our enemies the way that Jesus loved his enemies. We can forgive the way that Jesus forgave, the way that Jesus forgave all of us. We can embrace people who are different from us the way that Jesus embraced people who were different from him. We can embrace those that we think are not deserving of God's love, the same way that Jesus embraced people who many didn't believe were deserving of God's love. If we can stay focused on Jesus, we can do the things that Jesus does. We can begin to bring redemption and healing to our world and our nation. And so it's in the midst of this kind of world that Jesus says to us the same thing that he said to those early disciples as they were being buffeted by the winds on that lake, on that sea. Don't be afraid. No matter what you see in the world, no matter what you see taking place in our nation, no matter what may be taking place in our city, in your life, no matter what you might be experiencing, don't be afraid. Keep your focus on the thing that really matters. And what matters is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we keep our focus on him, we are assured that everything is in good hands because Jesus is the one who has the whole world in his hands. The whole world, no matter what might be going on at present, is moving towards that end. It is moving towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what it says right at the end. It says that as Jesus got into the boat, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. And that's what we do every Sunday when we come together. We worship Jesus. It's the way that we keep focus. That's the way that we keep the main thing, the main thing. Every Sunday when we come here, we worship him at the beginning of the week. It's tempting sometimes to use this time to become distracted by all kinds of other things, to make all kinds of other things the purpose of our being here. But we keep Jesus at the forefront of our thoughts. We worship him. We stay focused on him because we realize that it's only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves. We realize that those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. There's no other name that can save. No other name in the world, only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Donald Trump cannot save us. Putin cannot save us. Hillary Clinton cannot save us. The only name that can save us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are staying focused on him, then we can be the witnesses that he has called us to be. I know there are some people in our world that believe that we left Jesus way back there in history, just like the disciples believe that they left Jesus way back there on the shore. They believe that they've left Jesus way back there on history. How could he possibly come to us in the midst of our own trials and tribulations? But he comes to us, and he comes to the world. He comes to us through you and me, through all of us. He is with us. His Spirit is with us, and he is present in this world. And we are the ones who are called to proclaim the good news that it is Jesus Christ who saves. We are called to proclaim that even as people are marching in the streets, even as we have our fellow countrymen screaming at each other, even as we are polarized as a nation, you and I are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we proclaim the good news. Take heart. Don't be afraid, because the great I Am is still with us. He is still with the world. He has the whole world in his hands, because he has us in his hands. And he will forever have us in his hands. So don't be afraid. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us that we belong to you, and you have called us forth out into the world to proclaim the good news. You have not promised that we will not be buffeted by the winds of the world, winds of hatred and indifference. But it's in the midst of that resistance that you have called us to go forward, to bear witness to who you are. Lord, help us. Help us to keep our focus. Help us to keep our nerve. Help us to proclaim the good news that you are the God of our lives, and that you are the Lord and the master of wind and sea and wave, that you are the one who can bring peace and calm and redemption to our world. Empower us through the power of your Holy Spirit to be your witnesses of that in our world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.